So we're up to verse 39. In harmony with the Tao, the sky is clear and spacious. The earth is solid and full. All creatures flourish together, content with the way they are, endlessly repeating themselves, endlessly renewed. When man interferes with the Tao, the sky becomes filthy, the earth becomes depleted, the equilibrium crumbles, creatures become extinct. The master views the parts with compassion because he understands the whole. His constant practice is humility. He doesn't glitter like a jewel, but lets himself be shaped by the Tao, as rugged and common as a stone. What's been interesting for me these last few weeks, when I try to even think or remember or have an inspirational blast for a parallel reading, it's been really hard for me to come up with parallel readings these last few weeks. And it's gotten me thinking that I've never made any kind of formal academic study of the Tao Te Ching. We've just been reading it together as we've been reading it. I suspect that if I was a Tao Te Ching scholar, or if I really dug into this text in a much more serious way than I've been doing, I would probably discover that it's divided into, there's a certain kind of order to it, and a few verses back, it moved into whatever the next part of it would be, and somehow, whereas up until a few verses ago, it was making very concise and direct points that are common to all the wisdom traditions, it seems like it's now leaped into its own unique spin on mastery and reality. I did pull a few other texts in with me tonight, but you'll see they don't relate to this in the same way that earlier weeks have related. You know, there were times when I could just read from this and then skip back and forth, and it was almost like one seamless text. It didn't matter what tradition we were in. They were all almost using the same language. But we've entered a new terrain in the Tao Te Ching. Although the teaching remains this very deep, very simple, very profound message about the Tao and what the Tao is, and what it is to open into that experience of the Tao, or what we would call the Self, or what we might call Shiva, or Devi, just in the language of this tradition. But it's become much more almost essential as a teaching, and it's giving more and more, I think, and the experience of the Tao. You know, in all of the wisdom traditions, we don't really want to read about it. We want to have the experience of it. And when it's a really great text, it breaks the mind wide open, it blasts the heart wide open, and the next thing we know, we're just resting in the experience of the Tao, or the Now, or the Self, or the Shiva, or the Shakti, whatever name we want to give it, whatever metaphor we happen to resonate with. So I'm going to read it another time, maybe not right this moment, but one way I was thinking about it today is to make it much more immediate for yourself. In harmony with the Tao, the sky is clear and spacious, the earth is solid and full. But think of this verse as it's speaking directly to you more than the earth. So that think of the sky as your mind. Think of the earth as solid and full as your body. All creatures flourish together. Think of your organs. Think of your eyes and your ears, your sense organs, your internal organs, the blood, all the creatures, even the little, what are they? The little yeasties that live inside of us and all the other bacteria, all of it. All the creatures flourishing together inside of us, content with the way things are, endlessly repeating themselves, endlessly renewed. It's very, very beautiful to just bring it directly into your own self as a microcosm of the universe. And you can see how, yes, when we're in harmony with our own Tao-ness, our own, how shall we call it, mind-body alignment, which is what the Tao is referring to, among other things, that just absolute perfect balance, absolute flowing stream of pure consciousness permeating everything that is. And when all of that is in balance, when we're in alignment or in balance with the so-called Tao, what some people call the power of now, it's funny, the Tao and now rhyme, then it's true. The sky is clear and spacious, the earth is solid and full, and all the inner everythings are just working like they're supposed to, endlessly repeating themselves, endlessly renewed. But when man interferes with the Tao, as we are wont to do, our sky becomes filthy, our earth becomes depleted, our equilibrium crumbles, we disappear on ourselves, or the creatures become extinct. It's like when we're out of balance with our own being, otherwise known as Tao, we disappear on ourselves, right? We lose all connection with who and what we are. And we're just off in some dysfunctional la-la land. The master views the parts with compassion because he understands the whole. His constant practice is humility. He doesn't glitter like a jewel, but lets himself be shaped by the Tao as rugged and common as a stone. Come back to that stanza in a bit. But again, if you want to apply that in a very general way to yourself, you can think of the master as the essential witness consciousness of your being that can see all the parts with compassion and does witness, and in its witnessing, understand, grasp the whole. And even though the mind and its endlessly repeating stories have a way of trying to yank the entire mind-body system out of its proper orbit with that deep witness self, the witness never loses patience or hope. The witness is just always so happy when we remember to turn back in, come on home. His constant practice is humility. His constant practice is humility. I love that. I've been thinking a lot about humility lately. Maybe that's why this verse spoke so much to me. And I think humility is so beautiful. It's so austere. It's so sublime. And something in its austerity is so gloriously elegant. And pristine. He doesn't glitter like a jewel, but lets himself be shaped by the Tao as rugged and common as a stone. Humility, it's a beautiful adornment of the self. It's a beautiful container of the self. It's so comfortable in its own body, rugged and common as a stone, so shaped by the Tao that of course it does glitter very much like a jewel. I was out walking tonight at sunset, and it was so beautiful. The sky, the pink, it was just extraordinary. And I'd been reading this verse, and I was just really sitting in this verse and looking at the sky and just the trees. Where we live is hardly the most drop-dead gorgeous landscape on the planet. It's just a simple little neighborhood in central New Jersey. But everything looked so beautiful to my eyes, and there was this humility in the landscape, in the sky and the setting sun and the colors. And I was so just the witness of that. And it was so much grander. You know, I was thinking of that Hopkins poem, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God." There was so much grandeur in the sunset, and it didn't need to be anymore. As I searched around, I came across this lovely, lovely little teaching from Swami Sivananda. It's just lovely. He writes, "Smile with the flowers and the green grass. Play with the butterflies, birds, and deer. Shake hands with the shrubs, ferns, and twigs of trees. Talk to the rainbow, wind, stars, and the sun. Converse with the running brooks and the waves of the sea. Speak with the walking stick. Develop friendship with all your neighbors, dogs, cats, cows, human beings, trees, flowers, etc. Then you will have a wide, perfect, rich, full life. You will realize oneness or unity of life." And then he writes, "This can hardly be described in words. You will have to feel this yourself." Very, very close. In harmony with the Tao, the sky is clear and spacious. The earth is solid and full. All creatures flourish together. Speak with the walking stick. Develop friendship with all your neighbors, dogs, cats, cows, human beings, trees, flowers. It's so lovely. Maybe we can kind of weave them together more than I was saying. Then I thought, well, Mary Elliott, she's the expert on the oneness of all. "I would like to write a poem about the world that has in it nothing fancy, but it seems impossible. Whatever the subject, the morning sun glimmers it. The tulip feels the heat and flaps its petals open and becomes a star. The ants bore into the peony bud and there is the dark pinprick well of sweetness. As for the stones on the beach, forget it. Each one could be set in gold. So I tried with my eyes shut, but of course the birds were singing, and the aspen trees were shaking the sweetest music out of their leaves, and that was followed by, guess what? A momentous and beautiful silence, as comes to all of us in little earfuls if we're not too hurried to hear it. As for spiders, how the dew hangs in their webs, even if they say nothing or seem to say nothing. So fancy is the world. Who knows? Maybe they sing. So fancy is the world. Who knows? Maybe the stars sing too, and the ants and the peonies and the warm stones. So happy to be they where they are, on the beach, instead of being locked up in gold." And finally, Rumi. We haven't really had any Rumi in a long time. I thought this is, well, you can take the teaching. I won't explain it to you. "This is how you change. When you go to the orchard where the heart opens, you become fragrance and the light that burning oil gives off. Long strands of grieving hair, lion, and at the same time, gazelle. You're walking alone without feet, as river water does. Bend like the limb of a peach tree. Tend those who need help. Disappear 3 days with the moon." I love that. "Bend like the limb of a peach tree. Tend those who need help. Disappear 3 days with the moon. Don't pray to be healed or look for evidence of some other world. You are the soul and medicine for what wounds the soul." And it's so true as we open into the loving embrace of the Tao, the Now, the Self, Shiva Shakti, the big, whatever word you want to use to try to catch it. All of the above breaks open inside of us, and we're one with the trees and the birds and the peach tree, and we disappear just like the moon. And it's okay, because we are that pulsating, effervescent, shimmering, fluid, humility, compassion, connection. There's no more individual suffering. There's no more individual story. There's the compassion of the witness that feels the pain of the world, the Kuan Yin hears the cries of the world. Ganesha, the ears that hear the prayers and holds and contains everything as a blessing. That's humility. Let those teachings seep into you. Maybe I'll read the Tao Te Ching one more time. Take it into yourself in harmony with the Tao. The sky is clear and spacious. Really feel your own experience of that inside yourself. The earth is solid and full. All creatures flourish together, content with the way they are, endlessly repeating themselves, endlessly renewed. You know, as you're chanting tonight, let all your vital organs endlessly renew each other and themselves. You know, drinking in the nectar of oneness with harmony with the Tao. Don't interfere with that Tao. Don't let your sky become filthy. Don't let your earth become depleted. Don't let the equilibrium crumble. Don't disappear on yourself. Stay with the breath. Stay with the mantra. Stay with your own sublime alignment. The master views the parts with compassion. Whatever's arising, just rest in the witness. And just watch it with that compassionate seeing of the witness. And practice humility. I'll be the role model for that. I'll really work to practice humility. Not glitter like a jewel, but be shaped by the Tao. Rugged and common as a stone. Of course, a lot of stones contain jewels, diamonds, glittery mica. If we break a stone open, there's all kinds of wonder inside. So to be rugged and common as a stone often can be containing something like a coconut, containing the milky, sweet softness inside. And of course, stones, they've been around for a really long time. You know, a stone, I used to talk to stones back in my early, like 40 years ago when I was young in my 20s and kind of on a bit of a shamanic journey, and I was just lost in communion with the earth, and I would pick up stones and talk to them, try to hear their wisdom, try to learn what the stones had to teach, you know. Stones, they're really smart. Can learn a lot hanging out with a stone. And of course, the stone is one of the great embodiments of absolute stillness. What is it? Steady as a rock.